It's SC Wild with Major Billy Downer from the Department of Natural Resources. Major Downer is here to answer your questions about the great outdoors. Call in now at 888-898-2525 and join SC Wild on the Sports Talk Media Network.
It is so good to have another edition of SC Wild from the Department of Natural Resources to open up a brand new month of July here on Sports Talk across the state of South Carolina. It's the middle of the summer. It's hot out there. What are we doing in the great outdoors? We have Major Billy Downer from DNR back with us once again, back from his vacation. And man, does he have some stories to share with us about that vacation. Welcome in, Major. How are you?
I am glad to be back in my home state of South Carolina. I absolutely had a great adventure over the last 2 weeks. I spent some time in the dark continent of Africa. Yes.
Wow. Wow.
Lifetime dream trip. Finally took it. My wife and I traveled to the country of Namibia in southern Africa, just above South Africa. So a great trip. It was exceeded our expectations. The flight's a little rough because you're 21 hours in a plane, and I don't care how you slice that, that is a long time in a seat.
Was was it a direct flight?
No, so you can get direct flights from Atlanta to Johannesburg, but then you got to go to Namibia. We did, it's interesting, got at Charlotte, and you go from Charlotte to either London, Charlotte to Frankfurt, Germany, or Charlotte to Zurich. Mm-hmm. Then you connect up somewhere else. So we connected up from London to Johannesburg into, which is South Africa, back up to Namibia. It's a three-flight journey, 8 hours across the pond, 11 hours from the jelly old London to Johannesburg. That's a long flight. And then 2 hours back up to Namibia. Different airport. When you walk into an airport, you have to walk through a little wet pad area that says we are blue tongue free disease. They're trying to keep different diseases off their cattle. So learned a lot. The countries of Africa, Namibia particularly, but I think this is very common across Africa, their number one product that they raise is cattle. Mm-hmm. So you are hunting on cattle farms. It's interesting. The area was was settled originally by the Dutch and the Germans. Didn't even know that, but if you remember the Dutch East India Trading Company from your history classes.
Yes.
The Dutch East India Trading Company. The Dutch settled Cape Town in South Africa first, and that was the halfway or journey stopping point between Europe and India when they did the spice trade and things. So interesting. But anyway, a lot of history there. Just interesting watching their wildlife management. I did not meet any game wardens. Was kind of hoping to. I've been exposed to that before. We were with a professional hunter. You don't hunt in Africa without a professional hunter. It's against the law. You have to go with a PH, as they're called. Mm-hmm. And they go through an extensive training course to become a PH. They can start off as an apprentice with someone for several years. Then they have to take an exam, pretty exhaustive exam, with knowledge of animals, plant life, a lot of things. It was interesting just learning about that. My PH was very fun to be with. He had been in the South African Army for a while, served in Afghanistan, so a lot of good stories from him there. But really good guy, grew up in Namibia, German background for him. But we did have fun, a lot of just different from what you might think Africa would be. Looking at plains, you know, looking at grass, that kind of thing. Namibia is very rocky, so a lot of rocky. We did see some plains. We did see some mountains. Mm-hmm. We hunted in some mountains.
What did you hunt primarily?
The zebra hunt was the toughest hunt I've ever been on in my life.
Really?
We were there from daylight to dark. We got there just after sunup, which is about 8 o'clock. We got there a little bit later than we meant to, probably about an hour after sunup, and we were there till sundown at 6:30. We came back out of the mountains. We literally went about 10 miles into the mountain. We hiked 5 miles in, up about two mountain slopes or so. We literally climbed four mountains on that trip to take a zebra. It was 5 miles out once we had the zebra, and it was a long journey back. I wasn't sure I was going to make it, but I was fit enough to make it back without getting eaten by a leopard, so we did good.
Ooh.
We did not see lions. We did not see elephants. We weren't in that area. Mm-hmm. We were going to go to the park, but our hunt lasted longer than we could do that. But we had a great time.
Beautiful animals. Did you travel by Jeep? Did you travel by horseback? How did you travel?
So everything you do there is by Land Cruiser.
Okay.
Interesting. In Africa, all the vehicles you see will not be vehicles you've ever seen before in America. Mm-hmm. They're all different, and probably because of the emission standards. But the Toyota Land Cruiser pickup, big deal. Everything there is that Land Cruiser pickup. And that vehicle will go through everything. I watched it climb over rocks. I mean, it did some incredible stuff. I would love to buy one. In fact, we started looking to see if we could buy one. You can't get them in America. Mm-hmm. You have to ship them in. And with our emission standards, you have to buy an old one to get one. So it's interesting. But, yes, we did travel by Land Cruiser. It's got seats on the back. It's a four-seat truck, you know, front door, back door type deal. And then it has seats in the back bed. Very set up for hunting and observing. A lot of fun. We saw beautiful oryx or gemsbok, as they say in Afrikaans, the gemsbokker. So we did that. The beautiful animals. Saw sable. We saw giraffe in the wild, which was really cool to see. We saw blue wildebeest, black wildebeest, springbuck, a number of different African game, ostriches, red hartebeest. We saw a red lechwe, different animal. I can name off a bunch of animals. We saw a little small duikers. We saw they're about probably maybe 2 foot tall, a little small deer, mm-hmm. antelope. We saw steam bucks, which is about 18 inches tall, teeny little antelope. So it was really cool. We did see a clip springer, which is they live in the mountains, and they're a little teeny. They're literally maybe 18 inches tall at the most, and they jump from rock to rock. They're very nimble, incredible. But we saw a lot of birds. Fortunately, our PH knew a lot about birding because he had been helped in some of his training in the past with some people that did birding. So he could tell us all about different birds we saw. We saw baboons, of course, nasty animals. Just they're not just a typical monkey. They eat. They're very vicious mm-hmm. animals. But
Let me ask you this.
Yep.
So you're hunting zebra. So yep. what are the laws, like what are the seasons, why zebra, why would they let you hunt zebra, and what is, like, is that good eating? Is zebra meat good eating?
Yep, everything there is pretty good to eat, so they don't waste anything. Mm-hmm. Everything gets shared in camp. There's many families living in the hunting camp. It gets shared around. Everybody shares that. Mm-hmm. That's how they feed everyone. So nothing gets wasted. That's one thing I can tell you for sure. Nothing gets wasted. So we were there in wintertime. Wintertime in Africa comes after the rainy season, which is basically January to around April. Winter starts May, June, July, August, September. We were there. It was 30 degrees in the morning. It's colder when we were there than it usually is. 30 in the morning to about 40s. And then by midday in the 50s on a cold day. But then it warmed up to 68 some days, so it was really nice. The winds were a problem for us. We had 20-mile-an-hour winds from 10 o'clock in the afternoon to 4 or 5 in the afternoon several days, which messes everything up because when it's winds like that, it's swirling so fast, the animals are on edge because they can't smell as good, and they know that. So they will run at this. I mean, these springbuck, if you see these springbuck, they're a lot like our American antelope. Pronghorns, they see you, they may run a mile, they may run 3 miles. Just depends on how they think about it. Mm-hmm. Just take off. Mm-hmm. And I mean, they are gone. But it's amazing how well those animals, their sight is their number one thing. Not all of the smell is everything, but their sight is everything. Because for them to live in those environments, they have to be able to see the predators coming at them. So they're very aware. Smells, the zebra, incredible sense of smell. If they smell you, they're gone. If they see you, you're gone. They're gone. And I mean, they can see you. We had a zebra looking at us from across a ridge. It was 400 meters away looking at us. That's the 400 meters is what, 425 yards, something like that?
Yeah.
Looking at us from 425 yards away, watching us. If we made the move, they were gone. So it's just very interesting. So a lot like here, animals there are property of the state or of the country of Namibia. Mm-hmm. Namibia issues licenses. You have to have a professional hunter with you who's licensed by the state or by the country.
Mm-hmm.
And the animals, they're what they call trophy fees. And those animals are basically property of the state. The licenses are done there. But the landowner has the right to control what's taken on his property or not. So you've got thousands of acres of cattle farms that have been there for 100 years or more. And the animals just live within those cattle farms. They jump the fence, go through the fence, under the fence. Some stay inside the fence. They don't care. Mm-hmm. You have four-foot cattle fences. They don't use barbed wire, straight wire, very common. But the wildlife there is incredible everywhere. It would be fun. At night, you come back from a place and you'd see leopard tracks or you'd see tracks of different animals near your camp. It's like, wow, these animals are right there. Baboon tracks walking right within 100 yards of where you're staying. It's just, you know, you're in the wild. The most beautiful nighttime sky I've ever seen.
Really?
Actually, for the first time, I saw the Milky Way. I've never seen the Milky Way before. You could see the Milky Way with the naked eye because there is no... We were in the back country. There is no light to just mess up your vision.
To block
there's
it. To block
that,
it.
Yep. There's none of that light like you have in cities and all. It's absolutely beautiful.
What time does it get dark?
6:30.
Oh, so it gets dark kind of
early.
It's light
about 6:37. Yep. 6:30 is dark there. So you're south of the equator. We're seven hours ahead of us on that side of the ocean. But again, beautiful animals. But the biggest thing is just talking to our professional hunter. One of the things that's interesting is, you know, we always talk about hunting. We support hunting as conservation in South Carolina. We talk about that in the United States. But over in Africa, I've questioned a lot of times, well, why do we hunt certain animals? Mm-hmm. Well, here's the thing. I learned something there, and he explained it very well. I said, look, he said, in Africa, if we did not hunt animals, they would have zero value. If they have zero value, there'd be none left. He said, so hunting provides value to these animals and it supports it. So the people that own the land there actually, you know, they want animals on their property. They make sure they keep them up. They manage their herds right. They make sure that they don't take too many bulls, if you will, or males from the population. Mm-hmm. So we were, the professional hunter I was with is very particular. I was very lucky. He is mostly a dangerous game PH. He got brought in because there was a lot of groups at the camp we were at. So he got kind of brought in extra, which we were very lucky to have him. He had so much knowledge, and he would not let you take anything that was not a trophy. You didn't take young animals. You took older animals. And in Africa, older animals like in the oryx or the gemsbok, beautiful animals. Well, they weigh about 500-600 pounds. When the bulls get old, they leave the herd. They're not breeding anymore, and they go on their own. And that's what we went after, is the old animals, so you're not disturbing the herd.
How many did you take? How many did you
personally? I took one oryx, one zebra, and my wife had a blue wildebeest. Great experience for her. It was wonderful. It was just really cool. I mean... Yeah, her first animal ever. It's really cool. So we had a lot of fun.
Are you able to take the meat back to the United States?
You're not able to take the meat back. They take the meat. Again, they divvy that up. But you get to bring your skins back and your skulls for mounting, whatever. It takes time to do that. Of course, there's a process with the Fish and Wildlife Service and your permits. And that's going to take time. But again, it was a fun trip. I never thought I'd go and want to go back, but we are wanting to go back bad.
Really?
Save up and do it again. Yeah, it was that much fun. My wife had a great time. She has not, hunted a lot. She's just started shooting with me some, and she's hooked. She wants to go back. She loved it. The exercise, the walking, that 10-mile march in the mountains about killed me. She loved it. She thought it was great.
Oh my gosh.
So it was a great trip, but really cool. But
is there another part when you go back? Do you want to go back to the same area, or do you want to try another area?
Probably the same area, but we want to do some of the national parks and see some of the animals we didn't get to see, which will be really cool.
Yeah.
Like elephants. I want to see elephants in the wild. I haven't seen that. We did get to see giraffes, some really cool animals, and they are so cool to watch in the wild. Just all the animals, watching the herds. When you have a herd of wildebeest pass in front of you and they turn and face you, it's just, you don't get to see that here. Mm-hmm. You just don't see that. And you're in the wild. You're in the middle of nowhere. And it was just really cool. When we hunted zebra, we were in the mountains, and we were on the edge of the desert. So that was really cool. But before we go today, Phil, I want to kind of talk about what's coming this weekend. I know while I was gone, I know Captain Mayhew talked to y'all about boating safety a good bit again. And we've got July 4th weekend this weekend. And so it's going to be busy on the lakes. It's hot mm-hmm. out there. My goodness. Mm. One more thing I'll say. Africa was dry heat. Totally different.
Yeah. Yeah.
The sun, you could feel it radiating. The radiation from the sun, you could really feel it. It would burn you quick there. I can tell you that if you're not careful. It's just interesting. But so July 4th this weekend, a lot of people are going to be hitting the water, having fun, just want people to think about being safe on the water. And mm-hmm. as a part of that, DNR is holding, as always, we're doing our July 4th holiday boat inspections. These are free courtesy boat inspections. They will be from 10 a.m. to noon on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. I'm going to give a list out to folks. If you're in Spartanburg County on Friday the 3rd, it'll be at Lake Bowen Landing. At Pickens County, it'll be at Twin Lakes. Fairfield County, it'll be at Molly Creek. Lexington County, it'll be at the Lake Murray Dam. Horry County, it'll be at Bass Pro Shop. Charleston County, it'll be at Wapu Cut Landing on the ICW. And Beaufort County, it'll be at Battery Creek at Paris Island. On the 4th, Saturday, July 4th, Anderson County, River Fork Landing on Lake Hartwell. In Oconee County, South Cove, Lake Kiwi. In Kershaw County, Clearwater Cove at Lake Watery. Clarendon County, the Alex Harvin Landing at Lake Marion. Berkeley County, Hatchery Landing on Lake Moultrie. Charleston County, Dahoo Boat Ramp. And in Beaufort County, at Lemon Island Ramp. On Sunday, July 5th, in McCormick County, Scott's Ferry at Lake Thurman, Greenwood County, Highway 72 Landing, Oconee County, Seneca Creek, Lake Hartwell, York County, Ebenezer Park, Lexington County, again at the Lake Murray Dam, Charleston County at Rindley's Point Boat Landing, and in Georgetown County, Carroll Campbell Boat Ramp. So those are our courtesy boat inspection locations across South Carolina. For the July 4th weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Again, these inspections are free. They don't mm-hmm. cost you a dime. Officers will go through your boat. They'll check your boat, make sure everything's right. If there's a problem, here's the good news. You don't get a ticket. They'll point out issues so that you can fix them before you go on the water, which is great. And they'll give you an inspection sheet. So if you get checked on the water, you can show officers you've been inspected. Show how many life jackets you have already. So it's a great way to get your boating safety check out of the way. Make sure you got everything you need. Your fire extinguisher is in good shape. Make sure your registration card where you can get to it. Make sure that your registration is in good shape. Life jackets are all in good shape where you can get to them. And it's just a good reminder all the way around. Throwable device, everything. Whistle, horn. It goes through A to Z, everything on the boat you need to have. And it's a great free inspection again. No, non-threatening, just really easy. Officers will help you through it. They're not there to charge you because, again, this is before you get in the water. They're there mm-hmm. to help you go through your boat, make sure everything's right before you get on the water so that you can have a safe boating weekend. July 4th is going to be busy. Going to be a lot of people on the lake, a lot of boats out there. Remember, my main thing to tell folks, reminding, I can't say it enough, make sure you keep an eye out if you're operating the boat or if you're in the boat, keep an eye, the eye out for everybody else around you. Look out for jet skis. Look out for people falling off of skis or off a tube that may pop up inadvertently. Always keep your eyes open. Again, remember, one of the number one causes of accidents across our state every boating season is a failure to keep a proper lookout. Maintaining that proper lookout is a big deal. If you're the captain of the boat, driving the boat, it is your responsibility to make sure you are always looking ahead of you at what's in front of you. Again, if you're going out for July 4th fireworks, it's going to be great. Make sure you check your boat lights, that they work. Make sure those lights are working before you get in the water. So that, because you know you're going to be out there at dark for the 4th, for the fireworks displays. No matter where you are in the state, it's going to be dark when fireworks are going off. So make sure your boat, your lights work on your boat. And have a plan if they don't work so you can get back to shore. It's not worth staying out there if your lights aren't working because someone may not see you and it can cause a terrible accident. So,
how would you say the summer on the waterways has been so far regarding safety?
Of course, we've already had some fatalities. I wish I could say we have had none, but we have had some. I don't know that we're higher than normal right now. But again, we're in the middle of summer. We just started. Your 100 deadly days of summer begins Memorial Day and goes through Labor Day. So Memorial Day was, you know, end of May. We're just at July 4th weekend. So we're about halfway through, not even quite halfway through yet. So mid-July is when we're halfway through. So we got a long way to go. We hope people will be safe. Hope people will keep an eye out in the water. Make sure you watch your speed around areas of congestion. Again, when you get around on a weekend like this, there's no need to be going wide open. Because there's too many boats out there. Take your time. It doesn't mean you have to poke and go at idle speed, but certainly slow down, back off that throttle, keep an eye on what's going on around you so that you can prepare to make a sudden move if someone pops up or something happens in front of you you weren't expecting. Mm-hmm. Again, we want to go in this weekend safe. We want to leave this weekend safe. And we'd like to leave this weekend without any accidents. So do your best and do your part in your boat to maintain safety at all times.
Do you find that, or I mean, not fine, but is it part of DNR's plan that you have more of your people out on the water?
So, July 4th, a big weekend. We will saturate all the lakes as much as we can. Again, it's not to be a pain or to cause problems. It's just to have people out there because presence is safety. Being present on the water, people seeing you out there is important. People know we're there to maintain safety. Again, because people don't always act safe, and officers sometimes have to deal with people that are being unsafe. And the reason they're doing that is to keep the rest of us safe on the water so that families can go out there and enjoy the water on July 4th. It's going to be a beautiful weekend. Let's go out there and enjoy. Have a safe weekend, but make sure we all return safely back. Remember this, too. If you're going out in the water, you know, plan your trip, boat your plan. Let people know where you're going. If you're going to a sandbar somewhere or you're going out somewhere, make sure people know where you're going. Let them know when you plan to return. So if you don't return, they know to start asking for help to get somebody to come looking for you. Not as big a deal as it used to be with cell phones. Most of the time folks can call, but there are still areas on our lakes where cell phones don't work. So just keep that in mind. Again, plan your trip, boat your plan.
Sounds great. Glad to have you back in the good old USA. So you can help celebrate number 250.
Yes, sir. Big weekend. We know that folks want to be a part of America's 250th anniversary. What a great time. My wife asked me, don't you remember the 200? I don't remember. I don't remember. That would have been 1976. I'd have been 5 years old. But I just don't remember it.
Yeah.
But let's make sure we can remember this one with good memories. Again, like I said, for July 4th, be a good memory for all of us.
Thank you, sir. Great to have you back. Enjoyed it. We'll talk to you in a couple of weeks.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Be safe.
Thank you. You too. All right. That is the Major. What a story. What great stuff they did in Africa. Appreciate him being with us and sharing that with us. And we thank you for being with us and sharing your time with us. Have a great night. Big Thursday coming up tomorrow night here on Sports Talk. We'll see you then.